हरिः ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे So now we're hearing about how different Sanjaya said the message to the Pandavas, you know, asking that it should be peace and there should be a peaceful solution, such as Duryodhana keeping his promise to give back the kingdom, which Duryodhana won't. Otherwise, there'll be war. Dhritarashtra understands everything's going to be finished. So he describes everything. He's describing how great and powerful, you know, is all the Yudhishthira and all his sons and everything like that. I mean, Yudhishthira and all his brothers. And then he's talking about, you know, destiny, time, you know, just like this, it's all going to unravel, we're all going to be finished. But unfortunately, in that process, he doesn't see how he's at every moment making choices within that destiny and time. But when it comes to his son, he can't make that decision to stop him. So he's just saying, oh, it's destiny, it'll just happen, time is carrying us away in its waves. Everything else, he wants a glass of water, he doesn't go, oh, it's destiny, it's time, if I'll get a glass of water or not. No, he doesn't, he just asks for a glass of water. Yeah, so like that, he's very attached. So now in his discussion, the king then described Arjuna's prowess, whom he considered no less a danger than Bhima. He knew Arjuna was truthful, and would not kill any of his sons out of respect for Bhima's vow. But he would certainly not restrain himself with the rest of the Kaurava forces. With everything else, he'll destroy everything. Although I think about it day and night, I do not see a warrior on earth who can stand against the Gandiva bow. Dhritarashtra's voice was almost choking. Some may think that either Karna or Drona can withstand him, but I do not share that view. Karna is careless and passionate, and the preceptor is old and weakened by affection for Arjuna. No one can kill Arjuna, nor will battle with him result in anything but his own victory. The authorities have assured us of this truth, and the Kurus have witnessed this strength with their own eyes. With Keshava guiding his chariot and the Gandiva in his bow, Arjuna will be irresistible in battle. So they've heard it from authorities, because other great personalities have told them, you know, anybody, they've also heard from everybody, you know, who's come from, met these great personalities, you know, like the demigods or the sages and all that. And they all say, no, your sons will all be destroyed. So they all say, unless they give back the kingdom, unless they do like that, otherwise they're all destroyed. But somehow or another, Duryodhana is thinking, oh, it hasn't happened yet, maybe it won't happen, so they're just talking. So he does nothing. And Dhritarashtra, because he's attached, he does nothing. And so in this way, then, you say, as it is mentioned in the earlier point book, or in that the die is cast, it's done, that's the way it's going to be. Then Dhritarashtra continues, the fools under Duryodhana's control do not know this. When a thunderbolt falls on one's head, something may be left behind. You know, basically if a thunderbolt hits you in the head, not much is left, but whatever, maybe, he's saying. When Arjuna's arrows fall on one's head, however, nothing will be left behind. I can see him now in my mind's eye, coursing through our troops, his arrows flying in all directions and beheading countless warriors. Could anyone face the combined might of Arjuna and Bhima and survive? Whomever providence wills to be destroyed will not escape. Alas, the time for the Kuru's destruction is imminent. Right, so all this was explained 13 years ago. And so at that time it could have been corrected. In fact, Dhritarashtra corrected it once, you know, directly after the gambling match, the main gambling match. And then he let them all go and just let it be done. But then he called them back for a second match, and then they went to the forest. So it was already understood after the first one that they were basically, at that time, you know, Dhritarashtra fell silent. If his sons were destined to die, then it would come to pass. You know, he's what to do. But perhaps destiny would dictate some other outcome. That's always the thing. What can I do? I can do nothing. It's destiny. But maybe destiny will be different. You know, so there's not really any philosophy here, no consistency. After all, who could have foreseen that the noble Pandavas would have to give up the kingdom and enter the forest? And my sons did nonsense and they went, so maybe they'll continue doing their nonsense and they'll come out victorious. You know, like that. So that's just standing by and watching. Okay, fine. You want to stand by and watch? You can't do anything about it. That's all right. But the difficulty comes up is then, why is he king? Common citizen sits by, what's going to happen? I don't know, you know, whatever, what will be, will be. But they're not the king. The king's supposed to do something about it. Everyone tells him to do something about it. The demigods say, the sages say, the Shastra says, his advisors say. But he doesn't. And then it's like, but maybe it'll be different. Yeah. Maybe their victory was not so certain. The king hardly dared to hope for his own victory. How could the Pandavas be overcome while they were supported by that unfathomable Krishna? But he really, because he's not a devotee, he doesn't understand Krishna. Not that they, you know, Krishna doesn't come, they can't speak with him or interact and that. But the problem is because he's not a devotee, he can't actually understand how he is. He knows he's like another person, but at the same time there's something about him that's greater. And everybody talks about him as greater. But because of no devotion, you can't understand. Because Krishna being beyond can only be revealed, right? And only for those who have faith, then they can, you know, who have that surrender, then they can understand. Weeping and sighing repeatedly, Dhritarashtra said, "Although you have told me of the Pandavas' powerful forces, there is one who equals all of them and more. That mighty one could, by his desire, bring all the worlds under his control. That person is Krishna. He seems to have set his mind on the Pandavas' victory. It seems hopeless for my party. My heart quakes as I think of Yudhishthira's wrath, Bhima's prowess, the strength of Arjuna and the twins, and Krishna's inconceivable powers. What fool desiring death would fall like a moth into the inextinguishable Pandava fire? We have treated those heroes deceitfully. As a result, my sons will have to die. O Kurus, do not fight. If you wage war, then our race will be annihilated. Let us seek peace. Yudhishthira will not disregard me, especially upon seeing my distress." Right, so you see, very much on the mental plane, his mind wavers between, you know, it's all finished, this is the way it's going to go. If there's war, it's going to be finished. But at the same time, is, you know, maybe providence will be different. But at the same time, is all those who are there, I've mentioned the powers of Pandavas, who can defeat the Kauravas, but then there's Krishna who could defeat everybody, but he's chosen Arjuna's side. So then that doesn't look well. So now he says, you know, let's make peace and all that. And the point is, Yudhishthira wants peace. He just wants his kingdom back. So his point is, let's make peace, let's not have this war, but at the same time, let's not give the kingdom back. What to do? The king trailed off in tears. The rest of the assembly regarded him silently. What could anyone say? Dhritarashtra had said nothing about giving back Yudhishthira's kingdom, right? He says, let us make peace. He didn't say, let us make peace, give back the kingdom, or let us give back the kingdom, make peace. No, he just says, let us make peace. His desire for peace was an empty hope born of fear, right? Because only because he thinks everything will be destroyed, then he's thinking, well, we should have peace. But otherwise, if he wasn't fearful, he would say, you know, well, let's see what destiny has to say. He would not pay the price to bring peace. War was certain. Right? Because the price is give them back their kingdom. It's one kingdom on all the kingdoms on the planet. Right? It's not a big kingdom. It's still Dhritarashtra would still be the emperor. They just want their kingdom back to do, you know, their Kshatriya stuff. Sanjaya again approached the assembly, his hands clasped, and said, "O great king, it will be exactly as you say. That the Kshatriyas will be destroyed by the Gandiva bow is obvious. I cannot understand how you, who can clearly see this truth, still allow yourself to be controlled by your sons. This is not time to give way to grief. It is your fault alone that has caused this disaster." Right? You can say Duryodhana is, you know, the nonsense and all that, and he definitely is. But Dhritarashtra is on the throne, so he could tell him no. And then what can he do? Because Bhishma, Drona, Kripa, you know, Vidura, they, you know, they'll all support. And so if, even if you wanted to make trouble, you know, Bhima just in with one hand can hold him in place and he can do nothing. You know, because Duryodhana is strong as 10,000 elephants, you know, along Dhritarashtra, Bhima, Kichika, who's the last one? Jarasandha. But Bhima is stronger than that. You just don't hear, because it's just about, he's just, you know, it's just part of the thing. He doesn't boast, he doesn't this, that, but he's actually that stronger. You have neglected the Pandavas, who are like your own sons, and treated them harshly, because they came and, you know, so they were cousin brothers, his brother, Dhritarashtra's brother had died, his sons had come, he saw to raise them. So it is like sons, but he's favoring one set of sons for another, based on the bodily concept, rather than, no, these are sons of the Kuru dynasty. And so, you know, whether they're biologically my sons or not, they're the sons, and of all the sons, then Yudhishthira's the eldest, so things will go that way. But he's thinking, no, from my body it should come, my, you know, like this. So that's the point, that's why it's brought up that he's blind. He knows the philosophy, but you see, he can't act on it. Sitting in the gambling arena, you called out like a child, what has been won, rather than going, this is nonsense. See now what you have won. you wanted to know what has been won. This is what's been won. You know? Laugh now as you did then, O King. Now you must face the vengeful Pandavas and their friend, the Lord of all beings, Krishna. The Kauravas are about to sink like a whole boat in a shoreless ocean, right? So it's not that, okay, the boat's got a hole in it, we'll swim to the shore. No, shoreless ocean, you're going down with the boat, you know. Your hope for victory arises only from madness. Whoever despises the Pandavas will be destroyed. It is not proper that you now grieve, O Bharata, right? Because why are you, at the time when the calamity was being created, you were laughing like a child, and, oh, what's been won now, and, oh, we got this, oh, so nice. Says, you were laughing then. Why are you grieving now? You should be laughing now. Hey, yes, we're all going to be destroyed. Yes, it's all going to be, my kids all be like that. No. You have had ample opportunity to prevent this calamity, but you repeatedly ignored all good advice. Your lamentations are useless, O chief among the kings, because he laments, nothing will happen. And Yudhishthira says, yes, we want peace, give us our kingdom. Right? So it's not that they're making war, it's their dharma. See, is that dharma means the duty that you perform, means the nature of your, what is your particular kind of nature, right? What's your physical, psychological nature? That then defines your duties. And so duties can be performed either correctly or incorrectly. Correctly means they're done according to your nature. So the time, the place, the circumstance, or your qualifications, you know, all that has to be seen. And then doing things that you're not qualified for, yeah, like being the king when you're blind, he's not qualified. And so, therefore, then it creates trouble. So the Pandavas are simply, out of virtue, just want to engage their Kshatriya nature according to their position. They're Grihasthas, they need to do that. To say that, oh, we'll just go to the forest, that's a dharmic. They're Grihasthas, they're young. They were older, Vanaprasthas, yes, then they'll go to the forest. If you have these 50, 60-year-old guys fighting over the kingdom, they all should go to the forest and let the young people have the kingdom. You know? But no, this is over there. So people will say, no, but if he would just, you know, not create trouble and all. No, they're not creating trouble. They're just saying, give us facility to perform our duties. These are God-given duties. Everyone has a right to perform their duty. And they're just going to do their duty. They're willing to forget all the past. But Duryodhana won't allow it. He's just so envious. And his father is so attached. And everybody can see that, except for, of course, Karna, Dushasana, and Shakuni. Sanjaya returned to his seat at the foot of the kings and ministers. Dhritarashtra shook his head, tears running down his face and falling into his beard. Duryodhana began to worry that the king might decide to give it in to the Pandavas, right? He's thinking, oh, they might give in. It's like, all this thing, and they're not worried? Duryodhana is so foolish, he really thinks he can win. I have a bigger army. Why can't I win? But as Dhritarashtra pointed out, you've seen with your own eyes the prowess of Arjuna alone against the Kaurava forces, and he defeated the Kaurava army alone, let alone with his brothers and an army and Krishna. This was just on his own. He leapt to his feet, right, because he's worried, right, and said, "There is nothing to fear, O great king. You need not grieve for us. We are capable of winning the battle. When I heard that Yudhishthira had amassed an army and was intent upon war, I approached Bhishma, Drona, and Kripa. I sought their advice, asking if they felt we should surrender or fight. Victory was by no means certain. Each of them assured me, 'You need fear no enemies. Let anyone come. We will curb their pride with our sharp arrows. No one can defeat us in battle.'" But he sought their advice, as we saw before. He just got them to, you know, "You owe us, you know." So, declaring their loyalty to you, O king, they reassured me. I have faith in their words. Bhishma alone overpowered all the world's kings at Kashi. Again, that hero subdued the invisible warrior sage Parasuram. How can the Pandavas defeat him? What power do they have? They do not have their kingdom or their wealth, right? Because they're looking at it, I have a kingdom, I have wealth, I have their wealth and kingdom, therefore I have power. So for him, power is simply wealth and position. He doesn't understand power coming from austerities, virtue, and definitely not devotion like that. We are the lords of the earth. Now is the time for us to assert our supremacy and our rightful position. But they're already in that position, and so why do they have to assert it? They're already in that position. But as if the world kings, it's their business to protect all other kings under them, right? That's the emperor's duty. And he hasn't established that. He's not taking care of them. They've surrendered and said, simply just give us back our kingdom, we won't fight, you can be the emperor. He won't acknowledge that. No, it has to be, you have nothing. So he's not acting like an emperor, he's not even acting like a kshatriya. He's acting as a child, right? And he's not allowing them to perform their duty. So that means he's not even qualified. He doesn't even know what is duty and what's not duty. So, like this, so, you know, our rightful position, it's not, it's Yudhishthira. Yudhishthira has the right to the throne. That's just the way it is. You know, and everybody will say that. This kingdom is yours, O best of men. How can we surrender it to the enemy, right? But no, the point is they only want their part of the kingdom. They don't need to be the emperor, but they're saying, no, if they come in, they take everything like this. As usual, Duryodhana swayed Dhritarashtra's mind. It was true that Bhishma was an insuperable warrior. He had also been given a boon that he would die only at his own will. No one could kill him. If he declared his intention to fight with all his heart, then all was not lost. The king checked his tears as Duryodhana continued. Why are you struck with fear simply upon hearing descriptions of the enemy? Consider our own army, almost twice the size of theirs. Even Indra could not overpower our forces. Right. But what he forgets is that the army is twice the size, but Indra with Arjuna alone was overpowered with the heavenly army. But whatever, they like to talk. That Yudhishthira asked only for 5 villages showed he that he is afraid of our might. You know, so he pointed, so therefore we can fight and win, rather than he's only asking for 5 villages. What's the problem with 5 villages? We have so many villages. Like, we've given 5 villages. But no, he's just looking at it as weakness. Therefore, we can take everything. He's exploited. As far as Bhima is concerned, do not be afraid of him. None in this world can equal my mace fighting. I am a match even for Balaram, my tutor. And with a single blow, I will dispatch Bhima to death's abode. I can break the Himavat mountain to pieces. I long to face Bhima in battle. You know. So again, he's talking. You know, but what to do? I'm a match even for Balaram. So he doesn't even know who Balaram is. But what to do? Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.